You're listening to Sips of Sanity, your toolkit for emotional and intuitive intelligence, or what we like to call the dirty work. Let's do it.
Hi, Kelly.
Hey.
We are doing our second month of undermining. This is Sips of Sanity.
Educating about undermining.
Oh, yes, I don't plan to sit here and undermine you.
Yes.
So Sips of Sanity is a full series of five shows that we do the first week of every single month. And it can be found at patreon.com/thesarlows. This first show in each series in each month airs on YouTube for free. So if you like today's show or you think undermining, who the hell is undermining me? And what does undermining even freaking look like so that I can identify it? Or shit, I think I might be undermining somebody. I feel insecure or I feel jealous or I'm trying to get ahead and I feel I'm being cutthroat because I think that's what I'm supposed to be doing to be a good business person. But is it actually that I'm undermining other people and their own progress to get ahead for myself? Check the series out so that you are not a verbal abuser.
Mm-hmm.
Because undermining is a form of verbal abuse, and it could be something that you're doing with no intention of doing it. But just because you think these are the things you should do, or you've seen on TV shows and you really think Ari is great and he has habits of undermining, and all of a sudden it's like, I thought some of those qualities were what people do. We're asking you to challenge yourself so that you can be a healthier person at home, at work, and with your friends.
Okay, so hang on. To clarify, are you referring to Ari Gold?
I believe so.
On Entourage?
Yeah.
I can't, my heart is swelling that Karen Sarlo made a pop culture reference well.
Only because of your brother.
I would like some fucking credit there.
Okay.
Congratulations. That's really great. She's referring to Ari Gold on Entourage. I also want to say too, so undermining is a form of verbal abuse.
Yes.
And all other forms of verbal abuse work to undermine an individual. So it's an interesting concept, right? And that's why we're trying to break this down and really illustrate it in a lot of different ways so that people can understand it's not just one thing.
Yes. And why don't we throw out a resource, which you and I always love doing, especially books. We love to give credit where credit is due. Patricia Evans wrote the book, The Verbally Abusive Relationship. If you find this show helpful, if you go to Patreon and follow us for the rest of the shows, or if you are a lover of books, if you want to find Patricia Evans and follow her on any platform where she is, we strongly encourage you to do so. Okay, so let's step into today's show because our first series defined undermining.
Which everyone can go back on YouTube or on our podcast platforms and listen to that very first episode. That is available for everyone. And then we did four other shows talking about the different ways that we undermine. So we're going to jump back into that right now.
Well, we did three, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Mm. We talked about forms of undermining and we covered a few each day. And then Friday, we actually gave them some tools to identify it and to stop it. And then if they go to Patreon, we also provide a habit tracker in different levels. To be able to recognize it and stop it. And we provide to change your habits. And we also provide reflective questions so that you can reflect back and think about if you are undermining other people and think about and go through a process to be able to assess it to say, geez, I do see somebody else undermining me.
Mm-hmm.
So we provide all of that. If somebody's listening to this and goes, yeah, if they want to do more work in this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this particular series this month, you and I are going to cover more examples of what it looks like to undermine and to be undermined and why people do it, like what's behind it.
Okay.
So the very first example is, I'm going to say the one we're going to use is in a family and we're going to pick genders, but we want everybody listening just to know we're just choosing genders of parents to differentiate, to say instead of saying name by name.
Just to illustrate, yeah. We're being inclusive because it applies literally to everyone. We just need to be able to illustrate it in a particular way. So please draw your own parallel because we don't have time to spell out all of the examples. So the first example in this particular form of undermining is when, let's say with a heterosexual couple, okay, you've got a father who withholds from his wife, for example, and compliments his daughter or daughters on all of the things that he withholds from his wife, or compliments them on all of the things that he knows she values and wants or wishes to be complimented. And what it does is it creates a feeling of jealousy. So it undermines the relationship between mom and daughter or daughters, because the mom is now jealous of these youthful women, where they have what she now understands to be attractive qualities, inner or outer, okay, that he refuses to acknowledge in her, but will acknowledge in his daughters.
And I want to point out that mom could have all of those qualities yep. in spades.
Absolutely.
What you're saying is that's not what is arguable. Mm-hmm. We're saying that he's purposefully withholding something he knows she needs or wants for her self-esteem.
And these compliments are not just doled out in private. They are doled out in front of mom so that she can see, oh, he's capable of giving these things. He is capable of witnessing and observing these things, but he's not connecting to me. He's connecting to someone else.
Mm-hmm. He chooses to see them in someone else. And she may not ever understand that he doesn't choose to see it in her. Or mm-hmm. he does choose to see it in her. And I know that it drives you crazy. Yep. I know that it whittles away your sense of self, your self-esteem. I know that it gives me control over you to make you feel this way, because I can control you what your emotions are. Mm-hmm. So if it puts her emotions into any kind of dysregulation, if it puts her emotions into an anger, or like you said, a jealousy, anything like that, he's now able to control what she feels. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the goal, is actually to control her feelings.
Yeah. And then as a result of that, it creates a triangle situation in the family, right? It creates a rift It creates a rift where the relationship between mom and daughter or daughters feels a little less possible, or definitely more strained. And then dad becomes the middle person.
Mm-hmm. Because now the daughters might go to mom for certain things in life, and she may now withhold because of her emotionally dysregulated self.
She may choose any form of overt or covert forms of verbal abuse, consciously or non-consciously, because yeah. we don't always know that we're doing it or why we're doing it. Mm-hmm. And so what is felt in the relationship is an inaccessibility yeah. or a lack of safety.
Yeah. And so those daughters then may feel that they're having less of a relationship with their mom because of this, and then in turn go to dad for those very things and now that makes him more important mm-hmm. in their eyes than their mother.
Mm-hmm. It's so gross and messy.
That's a really good point, Kelly, because subconsciously or consciously, that man is destroying a family unity and connection between all of them.
Mm-hmm. And again, if you're extracting this lesson and trying to put it into your own family unit, typically we see these dynamics play out in the way that whatever gender the parent is attracted to, right, has chose to partner with, they are then doing it, this kind of behavior to that same sex or gender of their kids. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just so people are drawing their parallel.
Okay, that's perfect. Okay, let's go to a second one for today. And that is, and I'll say in any situation, and I'm going to give a living situation again as opposed to a work situation. So
I thought you were going to pull in medium and say a dead situation. Proceed.
Okay. No, I'm just going to say where you're living with somebody.
Living arrangements. Didn't get that. My brain went to alive or dead.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fair though. Where one person says, I have an intention to lose weight. Oh, I need to lose, fill in the blank, whatever it is. And the other person intentionally, I'm going to say intentionally now, brings food into the environment that is not in alignment with their intention.
So sabotage.
Yes. So they might go out then at that very time and start bringing in junk food. And I want to say something. It's typically not junk food that the other person who's trying to lose weight doesn't care about. So say I hate black licorice.
No, it's your favorite treat.
It's going to be what I like.
I was thinking of you today. I got you double stuffed Oreos, Kelly.
Oh, and I like how you do that because they try to come across then as I'm being thoughtful. I thought maybe, you know, after you had, you know, 3 or 4 days of dieting that you'd want a treat. So I was trying to be thoughtful. Or it's Friday night. It's Saturday night. We always have a treat. I thought you'd like this. We're having company. It's summer. It's Christmas. It's Easter, if you get my point.
It's Tuesday.
Right. Yeah. So they look for some excuse and use that as a way to shame you, that you didn't see how nice I was being. You didn't see how thoughtful I was. I was doing this kindly for you, as opposed to, no, I'm outwardly sabotaging your diet plans, your goals, your self-esteem, how hard you're trying to work to build your self-esteem or whatever, your health, whatever you're trying to do. And they put it like, how dare you attack me when I'm trying to be nice about you, for you. Mm-hmm. And that's not what they're doing.
So you're talking about two different forms of undermining, just so people are not getting confused. The first being sabotage. So you have a goal, you've laid out your actionable steps that you need to take to get to that goal, and then they put an obstacle in your way.
Mm-hmm.
That's sabotage.
Mm-hmm.
An optional obstacle, by the way, right? Mm-hmm. Like, okay, that's one form of undermining. Then you're talking about the secondary or like the cause and effect that happens where you're going, I just told you I wanted to lose weight. Why did you bring this into the house?
Mm-hmm.
And then they pull the whole shame card, right? Or the woe is me, I was just a thoughtful person. So two completely different things.
Yeah. And I think it's good to put those two in particular together because they often go together. Mm-hmm. When you try to say to the person, I told you I was trying to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
I told you I was trying to eat better. Because it might not be just about losing weight. It might just be that you had a goal to actually eating better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, for anyone who's panicking going, fuck, this happened in my house. Like I did that. I thought I was being kind. I thought they would want that treat after 4 days. Like, okay, relax. You can have healthy check-ins. You can say to them, hey, I do know what your treats are. I know what your favorite things are. Would you like to tell me when you feel up to having those? And I'll hold off until you tell me,
mm-hmm.
right? And this isn't about power dynamics. This isn't about control. This is about checking in and saying, well, we could talk about a non-restrictive diet or dietary lifestyle, but it's to mm-hmm. say to them, I want to support you. I don't want to put obstacles in your way. I'd love to be able to share the treats that you love when you feel like they are accessible to you on this new plan that you've got.
Mm-hmm.
Keep me in the loop and I'll be here to support you.
Yeah, because it may very well be that they don't want any type of food in the house ever. It could be that you both agree that if you're going to have a treat, that it is something that you enjoy outside of the house,
mm-hmm.
at a movie theater or out for a walk, or when you say, let's go to this particular establishment to get whatever it is that your treat is. And I'm eating it there. I only eat that portion. And when I go back home, there's nothing in the house that's like that again. But I like what you're saying about that it can be discussed so that it's clearly understood where someone is crossing the line.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to leave it there for today.
Thanks for listening to Sips of Sanity. Catch the full monthly workshop on patreon.com/thesarlows.